Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Abgenommen bedauert.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London. The Black Museum. Here in the grim stone structure on the Thames, which houses Scotland Yard, is a warehouse of homicide, where everyday objects, a flower pot, a coffee cup, a curtain rod, all are touched by murder. Here's a shilling. This is a familiar object, a shilling. It's a coin of the realm. So much silver alloyed with harder metals for purposes of wear, milled edged, engraved with the face of a British sovereign. Very familiar object indeed.
It's a lucky piece, all right, Inspector.
Lucky for you, Bob.
That's just what I mean, Jack.
Shillings don't buy much these days. But this one bought plenty. Now, the Black Museum, starring Orson Welles.
Museum, Scotland Yard's Museum of Murder. Here's a small radio, made for entertainment, for obtaining all the sounds that reach out through the ether, to your ear, thing for joy, for pleasure, but note the little wires protruding here, connected to the switch that turned this little sound box on. A man turned that knob, as was his habit. The little extra wires conducted current to an explosive. The man died. Later, he was followed to death by his murderer. All right, here we are. Here's the shilling, subject of our story. It's untarnished still, gleaming silver. Without a doubt, it passed through many hands, reposed in pockets and purses. And then one day, a telephone rings. So many things are heralded by that sound. This one rings in an office in the yard. Two men interrupt a desultory conversation. One of them picks up the instrument.
Inspector Graves' office. For you, Inspector.
Thank you, Sergeant.
The inspector listens briefly, acknowledges the message, hangs up the telephone.
Well, well, well. Trouble, sir?
Not yet. Just an interesting bit of information. Remember Joey Barth?
Dartmoor, isn't he?
Not after tonight.
Oh, is it that long since we sent him away?
Time off for good behavior. He gets out in the morning.
Wonder if Brother Davy knows.
The same idea crossed my mind. How do you suppose it feels, Sergeant, to know your brother is getting out? when you've taken over his business, bar, band, and bottle club, and your brother believes you framed him into Dartmoor.
There's a word for it, sir. Uncomfortable.
That, of course, is an understatement, particularly when it's well known both to the underworld of London and to the police that Brother Joey has sworn to get Brother Davy as soon as such action is possible. Now, obviously, no self-respecting police force appreciates murder. Follows then that certain precautions must be taken.
Sergeant, will you arrange for a 24-hour detail to stay with Brother Joey from the moment he leaves the hospitality of Dartmoor tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
And advise the station house, which covers Brother Davy's rather disreputable club, that Davy is expecting company.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather like to be there, you know, when Joey tells his brother he wants the club back and his share of the earnings of these past 6 years.
Yes, it must have been quite a meeting. It took place, of course. No question about that. In fact, no attempt was made to prevent it. The police knew when it happened. They knew exactly when Joey Bart walked past the uniformed doorman into the nightclub in question. They so reported to Inspector Graves. It was some 45 minutes later that his telephone rang once more.
Inspector Graves, Roberts.
Detective Smythe here. The inspector available?
Just a moment. Smythe, Inspector. He's on the Bart matter.
I'll take it. Yes, Smythe?
I'm in Davy Bart's office at the club, Inspector. He's dead.
Where's Jerry?
Gone, sir. We saw him go in. We didn't see him get out.
No, a self-respecting police force does not appreciate murder. When the murder is committed while policemen are on watch outside the scene of the crime, it is appreciated even less, if possible. Therefore, action is required.
General alarm for Joey Bart. Description is available.
Yes, sir.
Close that club and hold the customers and staff until I get there. Let's go, Sergeant.
All the resources of a great police department spring to life. And soon the inspector and Sergeant Maxwell are at the scene, viewing the body of Davy Bart through the hole in its chest.
Yes, that's Bart, all right. All right, Smythe. Let's have it.
Well, that's just the way we found him, sir. Sprawled like that. Gun near him. Nothing's been touched except to check for fingerprints.
Picture's been taken?
Yes, sir.
Coroner been here?
Yes, sir.
All right, take him away. Sergeant.
Very good, sir.
Prints on the gun?
Only the dead man's. Just the one set. They're his.
Medical report?
Shot at close range. Powder burns. It's a .38 automatic.
I can see that. Anything else?
Well, there's a war safe. It was searched.
What's this?
It's a shilling, sir.
What's it doing here?
It was lying there on the desk when we got in, sir. The lights were on and it was shining in the lamp.
Quite clear, wasn't it? A killing. An ex-convict disappeared, open and shut, simple. Still, the evidence must be collected with a view toward the eventual trial.
You're George Lyons.
Yes, sir?
You have a record.
Well, I went away once. 3 months. Attempted robbery.
Since then?
I worked for Mr. Bart.
Doing what?
Oh, sort of his assistant.
Yes, I know what you mean. All right. What happened here tonight?
Well, Joey came here, and the boss told me to let him in. Joey told the boss he needed money. The boss said he didn't have any. They started to argue. That was when the boss told me to wait outside, and I did.
Hear anything?
Oh, the place is soundproof, Inspector. The nearest thing.
Why did you come back inside?
I took a chance. Seemed like an awful long time when Joey didn't come out. I found him. The boss, I mean.
What do you know about this?
Hey, that's the boss's lucky piece. When Joey asked for money, the boss took it out of his pocket and told him it was all the money he had on him. That's when Joey said, I ought to kill you for that. Only your life ain't worth a shilling.
Build a case. Interview the employees. First, the doorman.
Well, I was kind of surprised, Inspector. But Mr. Bart said let Joey in the club when he showed up.
Why?
Why, everybody knows, sir. Joey thought Mr. Bart framed him to get the club away from him.
So you let him in?
So I let him in.
See him leave?
No, sir. He must have gone out the back way, through that door. It leads out to the kitchen and the dressing rooms. There's a rear exit, sir, out in the alley behind.
Now it's the turn of the kitchen help. The man in the best position to notice anything is the second cook.
Yes, sir. That's my position, opposite the door.
Did you see anyone go by tonight?
Only waiters. And the girl in the show.
The girl in the show?
Yes, she has a dressing room in the hall. She sings.
Her name?
Miss Fair. Mitzi Fair.
Get the girl, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
You at your station all evening?
The chef, he called me over to taste his dressing. Only once. All the rest of the time, I...
Yes, and you must have missed anyone who went through the hall during that time.
Well, it was only a minute or two.
Yeah, it would be enough. All right, leave a name and address for the constable on duty.
The henchman, Lyons, saw and heard nothing. The doorman was too far away. The kitchen help were too busy. Still, everyone seemed to have known that Joey Bart was there that night. Everyone, including the girl in the show.
You sing in the floor show, Miss Fair, is that it?
Well, I am the show, you might say. Or what?
Yes, was. The club is closed. You'll need another job.
Thanks for the 2 weeks' notice.
We can do without that. What do you mean, I am the show?
Well, I sing. With the piano. When the band rests. There's no line, no comics. This place is too small.
I see. What's your background, Miss Fair?
It was the usual shabby story, the early ambitions, the voice that failed to make the big time, the small jobs to make a living, and the eternal hope for the break. Then the steady work in the club.
Any particular reason why Dave Bart kept you here so long?
If you mean what I think you mean, there was nothing like that.
Did you know his brother?
Well, in here. David talk about him. I came here after David took over.
Your dressing room is out there, off the hall.
If you can call a 6x8 rat trap a dressing room, yes.
See any stranger tonight?
Not tonight.
Other nights?
Maybe. Maybe not. And if I had, I'd know better than to talk, Inspector. Davy operated within the law, as far as I know. But I've been around, Inspector. And if I knew anything, chances are my life wouldn't be worth that shilling.
Never see it before?
Looks like any other to me.
I'm told it was Davy Bart's lucky piece.
Was it? Well, I wouldn't know. With me, a shilling's a shilling, and they don't come my way easy.
But today, the shilling can be found in the Black Museum.
In just a moment, we will continue with The Black Museum, starring Orson Welles.
Inspector Graves waited in his office at Scotland Yard for the report he knew was inevitable, that Joey Bart had been run to earth. This was routine. Meanwhile, he sifted facts with Sergeant Maxwell.
Nothing to it, Inspector. It's Joey. It couldn't be anyone else.
Say that in court and a smart lawyer will prove it could have been any one of a dozen people. Reasonable doubt, that's all.
But Joey said he'd get his brother once he got out.
That's not evidence, and you know it, Sergeant.
There's plenty of evidence. The gun, for instance.
Davy's gun, registered with only Davy's prints on it.
The doorman saw him go in. Lyons was there at the beginning of the fight. The open safe.
With nothing stolen. At least plenty of money in it, and Joey came for money.
He left by the back way.
Well, no one saw him. No one saw him go out. They could have missed someone else coming in. Our case is full of holes, Sergeant. It's not the kind I want to go into.
You see, it's one thing to be certain in your own mind that someone committed murder. It's another thing to prove it in court, where your facts are subject to attack by lawyers, subject to the workings of 12 minds in the jury box, subject to the judge's interpretation of reasonable doubt. The inspector knew this. Ah, the telephone again. Perhaps this time.
Graves speaking.
Knife here, Inspector. We've found Bart. He's holed up in a tenement in the East End. 409 Allison. One of those places cut up into one-room flatlets. He's in the third floor rear.
Set the cordon, Smile. Seal the place. Don't go in until I get there.
The quarry run to earth. His hole sealed, front and rear, by the cordon of police. The inspector arrives.
All under control, Smiles?
Yes, sir. He won't get out the back way this time.
Good enough. Let's go in.
A small, tight group gathers around the inspector. Smith, Maxwell, several uniformed constables, all are armed. They enter the ramshackle building, start up the rickety stairway. Somehow this place escaped the Holocaust of Hitler's bombs. It's old, dirty, dangerous. The landings are illuminated by fitful light from flickering yellow electric bulbs in fixtures that once held gas burners. At the third landing, the group stops. Splits up. Each man takes his station, one to each side of the doorway. The officer with a gun in position to shoot off the lock on the scaly door. The inspector with Sergeant Maxwell and Detective Smith facing the doorway.
Here it goes.
Who is it?
You know who it is, Bart. Police, open up.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in.
Check him over, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Oh, nothing on him, Inspector. No weapon.
Very well.
I could have told you that. No guns for me, Inspector. I'm glad you got here first, though. I thought maybe it was some of Davy's boys with the same idea you have. But I didn't kill him. Not much sense killing the goose with the golden eggs, is there, Inspector?
They took him to the yard. Held for questioning, the record said. The questioning was sharp and to the point.
What did you get from your brother?
£100 to start.
That was all?
Oh, he argued first, but I got good and sore. Told him his life wasn't worth the shilling he threw at me.
We know about that.
Yeah, Georgia Lyons was still there. After that, Dave threw him out. Then I told Dave I could prove he'd framed me. He acted like he believed me. Told me I'd be a fool to take the club back after the way he'd built it up. Said he'd cut me in for plenty. He went to the wall safe, took out £100 and gave it to me as a down payment, sort of. Of course I took it. And took his shilling, too. Told him he'd get his luck back when I figured he was going to be a regular on the payoff.
You took his shilling?
Yeah, here. That's it. He had it since he was a kid. See that nick in it? He got that putting it on a railroad truck so the train could run over it.
Sergeant, bring Lyons and the fair girl down here.
Yes, sir.
You see anybody in that back hall, Bart?
Nobody. Dave said to go out that way, and I did. I wanted a little privacy, you see. Your boys were with me all the way to the club from Dartmoor.
You hear anything in that hall?
Only the pans in the kitchen. Now, look, Inspector, I didn't kill him. Why should I? He was paying off. Nobody kills a guy who pays.
Maybe. Maybe not. Outside, Bart, and wait there. I'll see you again later.
An accommodating ex-convict, to say the least. And willing to talk. Willing to talk his head off. The inspector was puzzled. This was not part of the usual pattern. The puzzle seemed deeper when Mitzi Fair told him.
That shilling? No, that's not Davies. Davies was the one on the desk. I watched him play with it lots of times.
You're certain of that?
I'm sure. Positive.
And the puzzle seemed deeper still when George Lyons said.
Yeah, I remember now. That nick in the shilling. Hey, Inspector, if Joey had this shilling with him, who put the other one on the desk?
Know something, Lyons? The answer to that question could be very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
A whole new avenue of inquiry suddenly opened up. Suddenly became possible that Joey Bart had not been the last person to see his brother alive.
It's a matter of who is telling the truth about those coins, Sergeant. If Lyons and Bart are, then the girl is lying. If the girl is honest, then Lyons and Bart are both lying.
Well, how do we find out, Inspector?
We take our time. And we let Joey go, for the time being. With a continuous watch on him, of course. Arrange for it, will you, Sergeant? I want a little quiet. I've got some thinking to do.
The inspector had his peace and quiet briefly. Shortly thereafter, he adjourned to the padlocked nightclub with Sergeant Maxwell and Detective Smith.
I saw him to provide wall-to-wall carpeting. I hate tearing up floorboards.
Well, it helps the soundproofing. How are you coming along the wall, Smith?
Nothing hollow. Soundproof tiling under all the draperies.
Hello. Here's something. Back of the couch, Inspector.
Bobby Pin, blonde.
The singer's a blonde?
Too bad she's not the only blonde in London. If she were, we'd have to prove she dropped it after Jerry left this office.
Nothing doing on the walls, Inspector. Next?
The desk. Take it apart if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Dave Bart looked too honest, Sergeant. There's a reason for soundproof offices. And if there's any record of that reason, it'll be here, someplace.
Well, the girl said something about visitors, back door visitors.
I know she did.
Hello. Do you hear something? False bottom to this drawer. It measures 6 inches deep on the outside and only 4.5 on the inside.
Sliding panel?
Probably. Sounds hollow enough. Ah, here it is. The bottom slides back when you press this nail head. A couple of letters here. The record book.
Good work, Smith. Well, Mr. Bart was methodical. Record of payments to the witnesses who swore his brother into prison. Income from various enterprises. Letters. Well, well, well.
Enough there on the girl to keep her working for free the rest of her life.
To say the least.
Then it's the girl, Inspector.
Or Jerry. Or both. Or neither.
Lyons?
There's a great deal on him, too. His 90-day sentence seems to have covered up a small item which could have meant 10 years. Apparently, several people were interested in the sudden death of Mr. Dave Bart. Shut the drawer, Smith. Leave everything as it was, except for the papers. We'll take those. And as we leave, Sergeant, suppose you forget to snap the lock in the front door. Understand, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
It was neat. Neat and simple. The bait, of course, was the contents of the drawer. Three people were interested in what it contained. Given an open padlock, the opportunity to search, the magnet, which was the letters and records in that desk, should draw at least one person back to the room where someone had killed Dave Bart and left a shilling on the desk. The inspector waited. With him, Sergeant Maxwell and Detective Smith, and a dozen assorted detectives and constables. They waited in the silent, darkened nightclub behind the door with its open padlock. They waited in the dark hallway near the kitchen, among the piled-up tables and chairs in the main room. They waited in the echoing, empty club. Waited for the sounds they knew would come. Sounds which did come when the safety of night shrouded the street outside.
The door, Inspector.
I heard it, Sergeant.
Crouched in the darkness, they heard the footsteps. Light, tentative. Then bolder, more confident, as eyes became accustomed to the gloom. A moment later...
Another one, sir.
Quiet, Sergeant.
The first intruder was aware of the second. More quickly now, the footsteps came into the main room of the club, crossed the dance floor. Suddenly, the second person broke into a run, caught up to the first.
Ah, thought you'd come back, eh? Tried to put it on me, did you, with the second shilling? You listened outside the door, didn't you? That's when I came through.
All right, Smith, the lights.
What's all this?
All right, Bart. Miss Fair, we'll take over now.
Smart coppers, eh? Sitting in the dark, waiting, eh?
Take him over, Sergeant. Take him over.
Yes, I told you once, Inspector, no guns for me. She's got one, though, in her bag. Try to sock me with it.
Well, Miss Fair, why did you plant that second shilling?
I knew George was in there. But Joe made this crack about the shilling. I went in after Joe had left. I wanted my lesson. David made me miserable enough with him, and we argued. And he tried to threaten me with his gun. I grabbed for it, and it went off. I thought if there was a shilling, you'd think it was Joey.
Yeah, a woman. Every time it's a woman.
Never mind, Bart. You can tell that to your friend. Miss Fair, you're taken in charge. And the charge is murder.
And today, the shilling, which was the main clue in this case, can be seen in an honored position in the Black Museum.
Orson Welles will be back with you in just a moment.
Thank you.
in person is Orson Welles.
There was no premeditation, that was clear. And certainly there was provocation. Mitzi Fair went away, convicted of manslaughter. Joey Bard eventually reopened the club, which had been his property in the first place. Seems to be going straight. Only time and the careful eye of the Metropolitan Police will know about that. Meanwhile, the shilling, contributed by Joey Bart, remains in its customary place in Scotland Yard, in the Black Museum. Until next time, if we meet in the same place for another story about the Black Museum, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
Museum starring Orson Welles is presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Radio Attractions. The program is written by Ara Marion with original music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Well, speaking from London. Black Museum, a repository of death, a repertorium of violence. Here in a grim stone structure on the Thames, which houses Scotland Yard, is a warehouse of homicide, where everyday objects, a briefcase, a medicine bottle, a carpenter's rule, all are touched by murder. This old-fashioned trunk, a familiar object, brass-bound, well-made in its previous generation kind of way. Perhaps you've one like it in the attic or the storeroom. Perhaps you've traveled with it at one time. Even checked it at the luggage room.
Heavy, this one. A little, I suppose. There you are, sir. Your receipt. We'll watch over your trunk, sir. Nothing to worry about.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
There, that trunk can be found in the Black Museum.
From the annals of the Criminal Investigation Department of the London Police, we bring you the dramatic stories of the crimes recorded by the objects in Scotland Yard's Gallery of Death, the Black Museum.
Museum, Scotland Yard's mausoleum of murder. Not particularly well lit. The vaulted ceiling disappears in shadows, but ghost-like shadows. The vast majority of the people who use the articles exhibited here are ghosts by the verdict of 12 of their fellow countrymen and sentenced by His Majesty's judges and the assistance of the executioner. Here. Here lies death, all along the walls, on the tables, even on the floor. Each article feels encrusted with horror, webbed in the memory of homicide. Some for more than a century. Here, on this shelf, a common object, a gasoline can. About a gallon, but the contents were poured over a human body and a match was lighted. Only the man who poured that horrific libation left his fingerprints on the tin. Easily handled. It's empty now. But once upon a time, oh yes, this is the tale. For our intents and purposes, it begins in Charing Cross Station in London, with a porter who noticed someone drop a bit of paper in the hurrying crowd.
Here, Davy. Fella dropped this. I tried to catch him. No luck.
Too bad. He meant to throw this away, though. You'd have had nothing from him for your trouble.
How do you mean he meant to throw it away?
Well, crumple into a little ball, isn't it? All crinkled like it is.
Yeah, that's true enough. Here, but look at your time stamp. He checked that trunk in with you 10 minutes ago. See?
Yeah, you're right about that. 10 minutes ago.
If the paper had been dropped in a waste can, if the obliging porter hadn't seen it fall, if there'd been no time stamped on it,
yeah. What are you doing in cases like this, mate?
Well, just wait a bit and then notify the police.
Well, why wait a bit?
Yes, wait a bit. Indeed.
Just to be certain that the fellow who threw the receipt away meant to do it.
And a cautious fellow, a checkroom attendant, after 3 days, I wanted to ask about the trunk. He didn't call the local police station. No, not he. He placed his call to Scotland Yard. Inspector Walsh dropped by to have a look at the trunk.
It is heavy, isn't it? Of course, it might be just books. In it, I mean, Inspector.
Yes, it might be just books.
Ready? Open.
Oh, just old newspapers, it looks like.
Oh!
Sorry to startle you. A dissected body isn't a very pretty sight when you're not used to it.
Yeah.
Another dramatic incident in the life of Harry Lime unfolds this Thursday evening at 9:30 on KUOW. Orson Welles stars as the adventurous rogue Harry Lime in each exciting episode of the series. For suspense and drama, join us Thursday evenings at 9:30 for The Lives of Harry Lime.
The trunk was removed to Scotland Yard. Its contents, once human, were turned over to the yard pathologist. The remainder of the contents were left in the possession of Inspector Walsh.
We're in for it, Sergeant. Again. Body, unidentified. Trunk, unidentified. Owner, unidentified.
Well, at least we have a few items to start with this time, sir.
Yes, of course. Some old newspapers, torn, stained, and so on. An old smock, stained in the same way. Some scraps of clothing. And the trunk.
Well, where do we begin, sir?
Save the papers, have the clothing laundered after the stains have been analyzed, then check the laundry marks. On the trunk itself, write up a description of it. Then start the local police into every second-hand dealer and luggage shop and pawn shop in London. Someone, somewhere, may remember it. After all, it is a trifle large, you know, and it had to be brought to the station. Circulate the description through all the means of transportation. Taxicabs, buses, vans, you know, Sergeant. Routine, we've been through all this before.
Routine. Start with a few scraps of clothing, some poor human flesh, a brass-bound trunk. Cast the net. See what it catches. Throw out the line, see where they lead. One line led to a second-hand dealer in Brixton.
I remembered it as soon as I saw the write-up, Inspector. Picked it up in an odd lot some time ago.
Good of you to come in, sir. You're certain it's the same trunk you sold?
Yes, sir. Funny about that label, though.
Oh?
Yes, sir. That's a fresh label. The one I saw, and it was old. Dirty.
Ah. F. Matson, St. Leonard's. Let's see now. There's your old label, underneath the new one.
Same address, sir?
Yes, but the old one was spelled correctly. Notice, Leonard's, L-E-O-N-A-R-D-S. The new one is Leonard's, L-E-N-A-R-D-S, no O.
Stands to reason the fellow who bought it didn't live in St. Leonard's. He'd know how to spell it if he lived there.
Now, that's probably correct. Remember what he looked like?
The fellow who bought it? Husky, rather. Well-dressed, very blondish. Straw hair, blue eyes, almost white eyebrows. I noticed particularly his eyebrows. I knew a girl once with eyebrows like that. Very whitish. Interesting.
Yes, interesting. Description of a man. But the man who killed a woman in the trunk? That was one of many questions. Among them, of course, who was the woman in the trunk?
We've traced the laundry marks on the clothing, Inspector. Family named Hilton in Shepherd's Bush.
Mrs. Hilton came to Scotland Yard.
We're very sorry to have to ask you to do this, Mrs. Hilton, but you may be able to help us.
So this is what a morgue looks like, Inspector?
Yes, more antiseptic than anything else. We'll make this as easy as possible. She's in here.
All right. Yes, I knew her.
All right, Sergeant.
Her name was Brady. She worked for me as a cook, temporarily. Came through an employment agency. I can give you the address.
The net was working. The lines were developing. Police routine, the Scotland Yard thoroughness was beginning to pay off.
The woman's name was not Brady. At the address the employment agency gave me, she was known as Burnside. She's been missing since March the 4th.
More muddy waters? Or another link? A woman with an alias, missing but unreported, inexorably. The wheels grind on, turning up, among other matters, a cooperative cab driver.
You're positive this was the trunk?
Positive, Governor.
Where did you get the call?
In Ravenswood Row it was. That line of old houses they've made offices out of. From the road at Charing Cross Station it was.
Do you remember the man himself?
He had his hat pulled down, sort of. But he was a husky one. I remember thinking he had to get that trunk as far as the sidewalk on his own. And his hair, what I could see of it, was lightish. Well, I hope I've been helping, Inspector. If I do remember anything more...
Oh, yes, it was a help. So was the bus conductor, who remembered letting a husky blonde man board his bus with his trunk light and empty at the time in Brixton, near the second-hand dealers. And piece by piece, the jigsaw puzzle was filling in.
Patience, Sergeant. We know who the dead woman was. We have a description of a man with a trunk. We've traced the trunk from Brixton to Ravenswood Row, and from there to Charing Cross. Now, our house-to-house inquiry in Ravenswood. Be thorough, Sergeant. Very thorough.
And, of course, the good Sergeant King was very thorough.
A clerk on the first floor of number 12, Inspector, noticed the trunk in the hallway on the 5th of March. It was gone on the 6th.
The day the trunk was checked at the station.
Yes, sir. Now, number 12 has three floors, a suite of offices on each floor. The second floor is closed up, no name on the door. Third floor has been occupied for some time. I have the name of the rental agent, Inspector.
Yes, Inspector, number 12 is our building. We manage it from the state, that is. Here now. Yes. Number 12, Ravenswood Row. The lessee is F. Lawrence Maxwell. Business, factoring. The red tab on the car, that means pays by mail regularly.
Then you've never seen Mr. Maxwell?
No. One of our outside men showed him the premises. Would you be interested in his home address?
Yes, I would.
According to our records, he lives at 210 Merivale East in Camberwell. At last, a shadowy figure begins to emerge into the light. F. Lawrence Maxwell, 210 Merivale East, Camberwell. At that address, Inspector Walsh asked,
"Is Mr. Maxwell at home?"
And the landlady answered,
"Mr. Maxwell? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. He moved out and left no forwarding address. That was the evening of March the 6th. I remember it distinctly, sir, because he paid the whole month and didn't ask for a refund."
A blank. The end of the line. Not a trace. But don't forget, that brass-bound trunk is today one of the star exhibits in the Black Museum.
Each Sunday afternoon at 4, KUOW brings drama back to radio with Theater of the Air. Each week...
The net so painstakingly woven, the lines so carefully cast, all led to nothing. A trunk, a dismembered body, a dozen people all trying to help, nothing. Was this going to be one of the mementos in the Black Museum marked Case Unsolved? Inspector Walsh waited. F. Florence Maxwell was somewhere. And living people rarely, if ever, move through life without a trace.
My, you gentlemen came all the way from Camberwell and Norrie.
And we went through a red light or two on the SA, didn't we, Sergeant?
We did that, sir.
This letter you tell a friend about, ma'am.
Oh, right here, Inspector. Kept it careful. Always try to help the authorities when I can. Yes, sir.
From the post office.
Do we open it, sir?
I think we do.
Oh, dear. Nothing but a notice. Undelivered telegram.
Yes, to Maxwell. Red Dog in Hammersmith.
Funny. Sending a telegram to himself in Hammersmith?
Oh, that wouldn't be to himself. It would be to his wife. Mr. Maxwell told me once she has a position in Hammersmith.
A wife. Well. Was she still in Hammersmith at the Red Dog Inn? She was. And so was F. Florence Maxwell.
I'd be glad to help in any way I can, Inspector.
Any further details of your movements on March the 6th? To the best of your recollection, that is.
No, I'm sorry. I may have left out a detail or two. It was a sudden decision. I mean, to give up the office. The business fell off to the point where an office was a needless expense. As I rented on a month-to-month basis, well, I just gave it up. I do remember noticing the old trunk in the hallway, though. Quite a museum piece with all the brass trimmings, as I remember it.
No, most cooperative gentleman, most helpful, is Sir Florence Maxwell. He even saw the trunk in the hallway. But on the inspector's next line of questioning, Mr. Maxwell was not quite so helpful.
No, I'm sorry, Inspector. I've never known a woman named Burnside in my life. Nor Brady, for that matter.
Any other name? Beginning with B, perhaps?
Let me see. No, nary one.
Well, you've been very helpful, Mr. Maxwell.
Nothing like the truth to prove innocence, is there?
With that in mind, I wonder if you'd stretch your cooperation a bit further.
Anything I can do.
We have two witnesses who saw the man with a trunk closely enough to attempt identification. Both of them described a man of your coloring. I wonder if you'd let him have a look at you.
Well, I'd rather not be identified by mistake, Inspector.
I understand that.
Isn't it usual to have several men of similar appearance present? I mean, I've seen such things in the cinema.
Of course. In view of your willingness to assist us, we'll be glad to oblige you on that score.
Decent of the inspector, don't you think? Decent of Maxwell, too. They worked well together. And within a few hours, Maxwell stood in a line of five men, all of them approximately his build and blondness. Maxwell was second from the left. A taxi driver entered the room.
I'm none too certain, Inspector. My man had his hat pulled down. If it were any of these, I'd say he was the middle one, sir.
Then the second-hand dealer entered the room.
I wouldn't want to make trouble for the wrong man, Inspector.
Of course not. Now look him over carefully now.
I'd say, yes, the fellow on the extreme right.
Thank you. Sorry to have taken you from your business this time of day. And thank you, gentlemen.
Will you want me for anything else, Inspector?
Thank you, no, Mr. Maxwell, not for the present.
Another blank. Nothing. No one to place Sir Florence Maxwell anywhere near that trunk or its contents beyond the casual contact he himself admitted. Mr. Maxwell went back to Hammersmith. Inspector Walsh went back to work.
Sergeant, I want that trunk cleaned out thoroughly now. Piece those torn newspapers together. Have the smock the head was wrapped in given to the laboratory for every possible test. There's got to be something somewhere.
Nothing out of the ordinary in the newspapers, Inspector. But the physical test laboratory reports that under ultraviolet light, the smock shows lettering that was printed on the material but washed out with constant laundering.
And that lettering, Sergeant?
Red Dog Inn, Hammersmith.
Now, Sergeant, all we have to do is to connect that Brady Burnside woman with number 12 Ravenswood Row, second floor. Let's go, Sergeant. I've had a search warrant ready for a week.
Now they went to work on 12 Ravenswood Road, second floor. Nice. Board by board, the flooring was taken out. The old-fashioned tin ceiling was taken down. The desks and chairs were taken apart. Paneling was removed and plaster walls sounded. Samples of dust were analyzed. Powerful vacuum cleaners sucked every bit of lint from the upholstery and draperies. And when it was all over,
nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Unless this hairpin is something, sir.
Oh, that could be anyone's. Suppose nothing. Is there an ashtray around here anywhere, Sergeant?
Yes, under the desk, sir. There's a waste basket. Metal one. Maxwell doesn't smoke.
Yes, I remember that. Oh, well.
Hello. Give me a tweezer, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
You found something, sir?
Interesting. Maxwell doesn't smoke. So we find an unused match caught in the corner of his waste basket. With a red-brown stain on one end of it.
Yes, of course it was blood. And the same type as the victim's. But the fact remains, as the inspector put it,
a clever defense counsel could make a hash of the case. Millions of people right in London have this blood type, and we still haven't established any contact whatsoever between Maxwell and the woman.
A jigsaw puzzle. All of it save the key piece. Inspector Walsh made a decision the next morning, quite early, in Hammersmith.
All right, Mr. Maxwell. I'm sorry to disturb you this early.
You, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. There have been developments. We need you at the yard.
Developments? What kind?
Sorry, sir. I've not been told. Now, if you'll get dressed and come along, sir, I have a car waiting.
It's early, I know, sir, but we don't keep regular hours if we are.
They don't keep hours, but they kept Maxwell waiting in the quiet anteroom outside Inspector Walsh's office. For an hour and a half, Maxwell cooled his heels while detectives passed him by, went into and came out of the inspector's office. At long last, Sergeant King came to the door.
All right, Mr. Maxwell. The inspector will see you now.
And about time, I say.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Maxwell. Sorry to have kept you waiting after rousing you so early. All right, Sergeant, you can leave us together.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Mr. Maxwell.
Yes, and without further ado, I'd like some explanation about all this. You said you were through with me.
We were, but there have been developments, new clues, all that sort of thing.
No?
We thought you'd be interested. Oh, excuse me a moment, won't you? Yes?
You pushed the buzzer, Inspector. I asked the desk man to ring through.
Yes, sir, I'll be right up. At once, sir. Superintendent Bivens wants you, Mr. Maxwell.
But...
I won't be long. Don't try to get out through that window. The view is good, but there's a 60-foot drop the river. Be back in a bit.
I must say, Inspector, this is all rather...
Time ticked away, marked by the clock on the office wall. And F. Florence Maxwell was alone. Alone with 1,000 unanswered questions. And his own fears.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Walking up and down, back and forth like some kind of caged beast. He can't know anything. He couldn't get me identified. Have they tied me to Louise? How could they? I destroyed every one of her letters. I never wrote to her. She thought she had me. She got what was coming to her. Right in the office. She dared to come to the office. Did they find anything in the office?
In the office, Mr. Maxwell? Yes. They found a hairpin and a matchstick with blood on it. But you don't know that, do you? You haven't been told. What could they find in the office?
When I took her to pieces, they did it in the trunk. They can't have anything. But there must be something. Well, there's got to be the inspector in Scotland Yard holding me here. I deny it, but things look bad. Very bad. Oh, I've been here. Where's the clock? Yes, almost a half hour. I'll have a story. That's it. I'll have a story. I'll be ready for it. I'll have a story.
Now you've done it, Mr. Maxwell. So you have a story, will you? You better be good, Mr. Maxwell. And it better be good.
Well, Mr. Maxwell, I'm back.
Inspector!
Yes?
I want to tell you, sir, I've been holding back. I knew Mrs. Burnside.
I see. You knew her?
Yes, quite well. How, doesn't matter. She tried to blackmail me, you see. She came to my office. When I refused to pay her 1 shilling, she flew at me. I hit her and, well, she fell.
Where did you hit her?
The left side of her face. She fell and struck her head. When I bent over her, she was dead. So I left her there. I came back. I must have been crazy expecting a dead woman to get up and walk. I was scared, you see. I bought the trunk. Well, you know the rest.
Very well, Mr. Maxwell. You're taken in charge for murder.
Murder?
I must warn you, anything you say may be taken down in writing and used as evidence.
But it was an accident, not murder.
Sorry, Mr. Maxwell, but the medical evidence belies your story. Mrs. Burnside died of strangulation. You didn't hit her. You choked her to death.
So, that winds up the case of Mr. Maxwell. But if you're interested, you'll still find the brass bound trunk in the place of honor in the Black Museum.
Orson Welles will be back with you in just a moment.
In the end, it was just routine, wasn't it? Methodical, hard-working routine based on experience and plus just the touch of imagination a good policeman must always have. The trap was sprung in Wadsworth Prison, and the story ended 3 weeks later in the usual manner at the customary time.
8 o'clock in the morning with a customary payment to the hangman. And the trunk remains in its customary place within Scotland Yard. The Black Museum. And I remain, as always, obediently yours.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.